The word today is intercessor. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. When we love and care for a person, we will also pray for them. We plead to God to show them mercy and goodness, continually seeking His favor for them. This is not an easy task, but here to encourage us in it is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Intercessor.
In the 7th chapter of Mark, there is a beautiful, beautiful story of a woman who is interceding for her daughter. As a matter of fact, we can learn a lot about intercessory prayer if we observe this woman. She is not a Jewish woman. She's Greek. And in fact, she was from the area of Syria and Phoenicia. That's why often in the Bible they'll call her the Syrophoenician woman, to identify her as a foreigner. Well, the fame of Jesus had been spreading all over and even along the coast by Tyre, and this is where Jesus was heading, and he entered into a home there, and he thought it would be relatively quiet, but the word spread very, very quickly, and this woman heard about Jesus being in the area, and so she immediately went and confronted Jesus and came, fell down in front of him and begged Jesus to drive out the demon that was in her daughter. Now, I mentioned that this woman was interceding for her daughter. You can just imagine this woman, how much turmoil she had in her life. Her daughter was possessed of a demon, and she would see the various just odd things that her daughter would do, and was so saddened by the condition of her daughter that she felt she had to get some help from Jesus. This, by the way, is in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning at verse 24. And so if you want to follow along, you could turn to Mark 7, verse 24, and see how she confronts Jesus. Now, at first, Jesus more or less ignores her. You know, He doesn't pay much attention to her, and then he kind of rebuffs her. And this is almost, you know, you almost would have to say offensive, because he says to her, "First let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." Well, you see, by inference, Jesus was referring to her and saying, "You're just like a dog. You're kind of begging for something here, even though it's not yours. It belongs to the children. Let me feed them first." You see, that could have been extremely offensive. As a matter of fact, I've noticed in church work these days that some people are getting hypersensitive. They get very, very touchy. I don't know whether this is part of our culture or whether things are so confusing in the economic world and in the world with the war going on and all the different things. And now you have all kinds of other tensions having to do with the deterioration of the building boom and people being forced to put their homes into a situation where they're going to have to foreclose and they might lose their home. And, you know, there's so much tension in the world. What I started to say was I think people are getting touchy, very touchy. And if you look at someone the wrong way or say something that's a little bit strange or offensive, they want to feel hurt. They want to feel as though you've offended me. I've noticed people that are offended by the slightest thing, and you would think that they would be able to rise above it and say, "Well, I'm a Christian. I'm going to put the best judgment on that, and I'm not going to feel sorry for myself, and I'm not going to ridicule them or accuse them of doing something wrong." But instead, they get very, very tight and very annoyed and maybe even discontinue their relationship with that group of people, because they feel they've been offended. Well, this woman does not feel offended. In fact, she takes it and turns it right back on Jesus and says, well, that's true, Jesus, that it happens that after the children are fed, even the dogs get the scrap and the crumbs that are left over. And so she takes that analogy and she says, think of me as if I'm just waiting for the crumbs to fall from the table, and I will be more than satisfied if you even give me just the wee bit, a little bit of attention, and that's all I'm asking for. That's all I know I deserve. And so it's really an incredible thing that's going on here. And Jesus told her, for such a reply you may go, the demon has left your daughter. Jesus announces to her, your faith, that reply in which you have proven that you believe in me and you trust in me and you still want my help, I am saying to you, your daughter has been healed. What an enormous burden has been lifted off of this woman. You know, I believe that so often when Jesus is quiet and doesn't seem to answer us, doesn't seem to pay attention to us as if he doesn't even know we're there or as if he hasn't heard us, we immediately get hurt and we immediately get offended and we say, well, I'm certainly not going to go back to Jesus. I'm certainly not going to waste my time. If he isn't going to listen to me and isn't going to help me, then who needs him? You know, that's so sad when we give up so easily. Intercessory prayer means that we're really working at it, that we are really, we're not going to give up. We're going to plead and we're going to beseech Jesus. We're going to come again and again and again and not give up. I believe we need much more faith like that. We need much more consistent faith in which we are not going to be impatient or not give up, but we're going to stick with our challenge to come before Jesus and let him see that our faith is real, not just for the second, but that it's lasting and it's firm and it's going to hold true. I believe that this occasion here in Mark gives us a lot to think about in terms of prayer and in terms of our consistency and determination in our prayer. You may want to go back to something in your life that you prayed for years ago and you thought was so important. Maybe it was the health of a loved one. I remember reading recently from a friend of mine that said, I waited 12 years and the Lord blessed me in the 12th year and healed me. And I thought, my goodness, just think of that, 12 years praying for the same problem, the same need. And then in the 12th year, God came and answered. You know, we just are not consistent and persistent enough, I believe, in our prayers. Now, on the other hand, we don't want to take it to the point of, where Jesus had to say to Paul, you know, Paul, now you've come and you've asked me three times about this. You wanted to be healed, and I've told you that I was not going to take that malady away. I was not going to heal you. And so I don't want you to consistently come back again and again and again when you know that I've given you my answer. And I believe this reminds me of a telephone call I had many years ago. Every week, at the beginning of the week, I would get a phone call from this lady. She never introduced herself. I never knew who it was. But she would begin the same way. Why doesn't Jesus answer me? Why doesn't Jesus answer me? I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm fervently believing, but he never answers me. And she did this for months, many, many months. And finally, one day, after many, many times hearing this same phone call, I interrupted her and I said, wait just a minute, ma'am. Wait just a moment. I have a new idea I'd like you to think about. Is it possible that Jesus answered you several months ago already and very rapidly answered your prayer, but you didn't accept it and you didn't regard it as an answer because you didn't like the answer? Is it possible that God has given you the answer and you are not receiving it? Well, there was a long pause and then a click as the telephone hung up, and I never did hear again from that woman. Now, I don't know whether I had maybe guessed at what might have been the problem, or perhaps not. I don't know. I hope I didn't needlessly offend her. But once in a while, we need to remind ourselves to double-check, make sure just where our heart is, and whether or not we are intercessingly praying and waiting for the answer, or maybe unwilling to accept what the answer already is. Now, we have to have a burden for the lost if we're truly God's children, and I hope you know somebody that is not a Christian so that you can witness to them and talk to them about Jesus. And I hope you'll try again and again, even if you've tried dozens of times. You never know what's going to happen in their life. What may have happened may have changed their entire thinking, and it may have opened their heart to the point where they'll listen to you the next time. You never know. You never want to stop witnessing. As long as that person is still alive, there's still a chance. And so, even if it seems like Jesus is ignoring you, even if it seems as though he's not even listening to you, you probably dislike the silence. You know, a lot of times we like to have a little noise. I know people that even when they study have to have a little noise in the background, a little music or something. Ask Jesus to come into your life in a special way to prepare you for the fact that it may take a while. He says, wait upon the Lord. He may take a while before he answers your prayer, but he will answer. He promises that. So don't become dismayed if it seems too quiet or there's too much silence. At some point, God will reveal his answer to you. And as a matter of fact, if he doesn't this side of heaven, someday in heaven we will know why things had to be the way they were, and we will know all things. And it'll be very special for us to see why God did some things in our lives the way he did. And we will thank and praise him before his throne, along with all the thanksgiving and praise for all the good things he's done, especially for the gift of salvation. Praise God, our Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.